I heard that there was a pop quiz at Sunday school about what I talked about last Sunday, and the Sunday school class did not do too well on the pop quiz. So, next Sunday should be easier. Next Sunday should be easier because we are going to start a series on the book of Philippians. And really the theme of Philippians is joy in the midst of trials. We all go through trials and tribulations, and the promise of the Christian life is that even as we go through those trials and tribulations, that there is joy available to us through Christ. And so we really want to explore that, and this morning we're going to be looking at not really the book of Philippians, but the founding of the church at Philippi. The book of Philippians is written to a group of people that lived in Philippi. Just like we would be called Americans, they were called Philippians. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. And then we will explore what Paul has to say to this church. And so we're going to go ahead and get started with that. We see that even before Paul gets to Philippi, even as he is on his way, we see that God is directing him to go and preparing him to go to Philippi to preach the gospel. This is Paul's second missionary journey, and it starts after Acts 15, right? We had the Acts 15 council where Paul had went out and preached the gospel, and then the Judaizers were coming in and saying, yeah, that gospel that Paul preaches, that's great and everything, you know, salvation by faith. But if you really want to know God, if you really want to have God's presence in your life, not only do you have to have faith in Jesus, but you also have to keep the law. And you have to do all the things that the Old Testament requires. And so Paul was getting very frustrated with these Judaizers. But the believers in the churches were getting very frustrated and confused. What is it that we're supposed to do? One group is saying, do this. Another group is saying, do this. And they sent Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem to figure out what is it that we got to do. And then after that conference or after that meeting, then Paul is going out to deliver the results of the Jerusalem Council. So that was really the first council of the church. So Paul goes on his first missionary journey. Paul visits Philippi on his second missionary journey. That's where we're kind of really be focused today. And then you can kind of see the timeline of Philippians. Paul goes on his third missionary journey and travels through Philippi. Then Paul is arrested and he is in Rome. And you know, everybody has kind of a different theory, but most people agree that Paul wrote the book of Philippians while he was in jail in Rome. And this morning we're going to look first at the Macedonian call. And that call starts with Paul wanting to go out and spread the news from the Jerusalem Council. We see in Acts 15, 36 through 40, it says, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take him with them, the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. So here we have the dream team, Paul and Barnabas, right? And they get the answer that they wanted from the Jerusalem Council, and Paul's like, all right, let's go back and we're going to visit all these churches and we're going to show them, hey, we were right. We were teaching you guys the right things. And so they're getting ready to go, and Barnabas says, we're going to take Mark. And Paul says, no, he deserted us before. We're not going to take him again. And it says that the dispute between them became so sharp that they parted from one another. You guys ever have disputes like that? No. Not here in this church, right? Even good people can disagree. Even godly people can disagree. So they separated, and so Barnabas went with Mark, and now we have Paul and Silas, and they go, and they're going to go and visit the churches. Acts 16, 4 and 5 says, as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. And so the churches were determined by the apostles. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. And what was it, those things that the apostles determined that they should follow? We find that in Acts 15, 19 through 20. It says, therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. So what was it that they kept from the law, the Old Testament law? They said, hey, don't pollute yourself with things that have been dedicated to idols. Don't commit sexual immorality. Don't eat things that are strangled. And don't drink blood. Don't eat blood. He says, if you do these things, you will do well. So Paul and Silas are now going out and they're telling the churches, this is what we got to do. And they're like, okay, finally we have an answer. We know what we're supposed to do, and people are getting excited again. And so that's what their plan was. But we see here in verse 6 through 8 that God changed their plans. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. And so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Now we're going to see a map here. And the part that we're talking about is like over in here. They came up from Jerusalem, they came up here, and they were over in this area, and they wanted to come into Asia, which is kind of right in here, and it says that the Holy Spirit prevented them from sharing the gospel. Now, isn't that just such an odd thing to be written in Scripture, that the Holy Spirit prevented them from sharing the gospel? I don't think it's the Holy Spirit didn't want them to share the gospel, but he had a mission. He didn't want them to share in Asia. And then they went up here, and you can't really see it on this map, but they wanted to go up into Bithynia, which is over in here, in this area. And so they couldn't do that either. And so they came down to this little port right here, which is Troas. Okay, and that's where they're at. And then we see that God gives Paul a vision for Macedonia. Acts 16, 9 and 10 says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So here Paul had these plans, right? We're going to go back and visit all the churches, reestablish them, reestablish what they're supposed to be doing. God had a different plan. And that was to go and spread the gospel in Europe. Macedonia is really the first country that was church that was established in Europe. and so then we see that Paul obeyed this call right away. Verse 11 and 12 says, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, a Roman colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And so this is, let's see here. So they were here. This is that little place called Samothrace. They stayed the night there. The next day they came up here to the port, and then they went up to Philippi. That's how they got there. So the first person who was converted in Philippi was a woman named Lydia. And she was the one with which the Philippian church was born. In Acts 16, 13 through 15, it says, On the Sabbath day, we were out at the city to the riverside where we were praying, where the prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who met there. And now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. And she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And so she persuaded us. So here they are ministering in Philippi. They have the first convert mentioned, which is Lydia. And then her household is baptized. And they continue to stay at her house and continue to minister in Philippi. Then something happens where they get punished for doing good. We see this story beginning in verse 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. And this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. Now you might think, well, that's great, right? Here she is testifying that Paul and his group are preaching the word and doing the right thing. I'm guessing that her tone was not a supportive, helpful tone. Because Paul did not think of it as helpful. It says, But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. Mainly exceedingly troubling their profit book, right? Their back pocket. That's what they really exceedingly troubled. But in order to get the city leaders on their side, you know, you got to kind of make your case. These Jews exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. And then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes, Paul and Silas, and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Now, for us, if that were to happen here, we would think that would be absolutely crazy. But we have what we call the First Amendment, right? We have the right to worship as we please. We have the freedom of religion. They didn't have that in Rome. You didn't have the freedom of religion. In Rome, you had the Roman pantheon. The Roman gods, and you were to worship the Roman gods. There was, in a sense, a state religion, and you were to worship the Roman gods. And so Paul and Silas are coming in and saying, no, you ought to worship the one true God. And so they're saying, hey, these guys are teaching the wrong thing. And so the multitude rose up against them. They tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So, trial, right? Here they are, annoyed by this girl, having pity on this girl who has a demon possessing her. He casts out the demon, frees the girl from this demon, and the people who were using and abusing her have them thrown in jail. Now, that would be easy to get discouraged about, right? It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to focus on the here and now. It's easy to focus on the trial before us. But here we see Paul and Silas after being beaten and bruised, what are they doing? They are in jail, in the inner part of the jail, right? Basically kind of like a solitary confinement, right? They got shackles on their legs, and they're singing, right? They're having the best worship service ever had. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I used to listen to my music a little louder than I do now. And my mom sometimes would say, my mom would sometimes come in and say, it sounds like there's an earthquake going on in here, right? Or sometimes when I drive in, because I had some speakers in my car, but she'd say, it sounds like there's an earthquake going in here. Well, it's kind of like that with Paul and Silas. They didn't really have many instruments, but it says in Acts 16, 25 through 28, it says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Now that is a worship service, right? I mean, that is something to behold. Here you are praising God. I mean, you just got beat, right? You just got beat for your faith. Now, how is it that you can have faith that can experience those kinds of trials and your faith is not shaken, right? Your faith is so strong that even God shakes the earth and loosens your bonds. I think they expected trials, right? Peter tells us, hey, don't think it strange when you have trials come upon you. That's part of life. Your faith is going to be tested. And Paul knew that as he went out and to preach the gospel, that he was going to experience trials and tribulations. And so here they are, praying and singing hymns. What hymns did they sing? The Psalms, right? Many people think they were probably singing maybe Psalms 115 through 118. They were probably singing, at least one of the songs they were singing was probably the same hymn that they sang the night of the Last Supper, right? They sang hymns together and then they went out to the garden. So, all of a sudden, all their shackles are off. They're standing there. There was a great earthquake. The doors are open, right? They're free. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Why would he do that? Because that was his punishment, right? If he lost his prisoners, he would be sentenced to death because he let them escape. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. What an amazing thing. Paul had physical freedom in his grasp, right? All he had to do was just walk out the door, and he could have been free. But Paul was already free. He had a better kind of freedom, and he wanted that people to know that. He also knew he hadn't done anything wrong. So what was the jailer's response? Then he called for a light, and he ran in, and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? God had been working on his heart. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household. And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And when he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and his family were baptized. And now he had brought them into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. So here we see the church is starting to grow. The church is growing through persecution. But Paul and Silas are about to quickly depart Philippi. Continuing in Acts chapter 16, it says, "And when it was day, the magistrates sent the officers, saying, 'Let those men go.' And so the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, 'The magistrates have sent to let you go.' How kind of them. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said to them, 'They have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and having thrown us into prison, and now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out.' And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they had heard that they were Romans." All of a sudden, they realized they had made a big mistake because Romans had rights. If you were a Roman citizen, you had rights. You had a right to a trial. And they did not give them a trial. They beat them and put them in prison. And now they are worried. They were in fear. They were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. And when then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. So that is the part in Acts where we see the beginning of the Philippian church. It was born in adversity. It was born through challenges, through persecution, but that's how it got started. And this little church, right? We got the jailer, the Philippian jailer, and we got this woman, Lydia, and a group of other people. They weren't just any church. They were one of Paul's most faithful allies in the gospel. We see that this church, the church at Philippi, was partner with Paul in ministry. We see this in a couple of different places. One, 1 Thessalonians 2:2. We see that Paul's group continued to Thessalonica. It says, "But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." So Paul is saying that they continued to Thessalonica after they were mistreated in Philippi. And then the church in Philippi sent aid to Paul. Philippians 4:14-16 says, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." So here Paul left with his group, and they continued to send him aid. And they were the only church supporting him at that time. Next week we're going to pick up and we're going to see another offering that the Philippian church sent to Paul while he was in prison in Rome. But that's where we're going to end for today. Let's close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this insight into this church in Philippi. Lord, we see that even in Paul, as he's going through serving you as a missionary, going through and sharing the gospel, Lord, he went through many tribulations and trials. Lord, oftentimes we think of ourselves as really struggling, but when we read about what he went through for your name, for your honor, for your glory, Lord, it kind of puts our struggle into perspective. Lord, not that we don't struggle, because we do. We have challenges that we each face. We have fears. We have doubts. But we can look to you. And Lord, I pray that as we go through those trials, that we, like Paul and Silas, would praise you even in the midst of the trial. Even after, we're figuratively speaking, sitting right in the bottom of the jail, right in the worst part of life, after having been beaten up, bruised, discouraged, frustrated, Lord, let our hearts turn to you in praise. Let our hearts turn to you in prayer and worship you. Lord, if we can keep our focus on heaven, if we can keep our focus on where we're going, we can handle the trials of life. But like Peter, if we take our eyes off of you, Lord, we quickly fall. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to come to you, to stay focused on you, to live for you. Lord, as we live out our faith, let us be found faithful. Lord, let us help others, encourage them, help them, Lord, to do the work of the ministry. That's what you've put us here to do. Each one of us. It's not just the pastor's job. Each one of us have a job to encourage each other in their faith, to lift each other up, to challenge each other, and to say, follow Jesus. Stay focused on the cross. Stay focused on eternity. That's where we're all headed. Lord, let us do that. Let us be faithful in worship of you and encouragement to others. Let us come to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to close with our last song.